Friend of the program, friend of mine, reporter, storyteller for NFL Media. He's a Hall of Fame voter. He's the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. He is Jim Trotter. Jim, what's going on?
Rowley, how you doing, man?
Good, bud, good. Being the big, big golfer that you are, I know you're impressed with Brooks Koepka. What do you think about this guy's approach, his mentality, the way he dominates? I'd never spoken to him before just a few moments ago. What's your take?
First of all, I wish I'd heard the interview. Unfortunately, I was doing some work and didn't catch it, but I'm a big fan of his. I'm a big fan of any golfer who can break 80, something I can't do. So, obviously he can do that, but no, he brings a certain intensity, a certain focus, a certain, ability to the game that I think I'm always fascinated by people who are great at what they do, and he's great at what he does.
No doubt. Jim Trotter joining us. I had to ask you about that because I know you're such a fan of the sport and you've covered so many different kinds of athletes over the years. Jim, in last night's Giants-Patriots game, there was another incident involving PI, or I guess I should say not involving pass interference. Golden Tate certainly appeared to be interfered with. It was not called on the field. Then it was not called on review. What was your reaction when you saw that last night?
That we're being asked not to trust what we see. And, it was this way with the catch rule. Is it a catch? Is it not a catch? And, for Jim, for a long time, I said, it's kind of like pornography. You know it when you see it. And I think we know a catch when we see it. And I think we know pass interference when we see it. And unfortunately, there have been, 40 challenges, in terms of pass interference called or not called. And only 7 have been successful. And Kevin Seifert of ESPN posted a stat that said only one of the last 21 challenges have been successful. So to me, I just don't understand it. I think I see pass interference. I think most coaches think they know what it is. And yet when they challenge it, either being called or not called, they're unsuccessful. And you can hear the frustration in the coaches' voices today. Even John Harbaugh spoke out about it. That really they don't know what to do, and a lot of coaches now are simply going to keep the flag in their pocket rather than throw it, because it seems pretty certain at this point that you are not going to win any challenges on that. And I know that Al Riveron, the head of officiating, says he talks about there being a clear hindrance, so to speak, of a receiver. And again, I know what I saw last night. What I saw last night was pass interference, and the fact that it wasn't called. Even on challenge, it's just stunning to me.
In other words, if it appears to be porno, it is porno. And last night was a clear hindrance. So, Jim, what's going on here? Is it a matter of the folks handling the review, not wanting to embarrass or overrule the officials on the field? Is this something else? Exactly what is this?
Well, Romy, if that's it, then don't put the rule in. It seems to be an overreaction to what happened in the Saints game against the Rams last year in the NFC Championship game, and everybody knew that there was an infraction there, and so there should be a way to have that addressed, and so they put in this rule. Well, once you put it in, you should follow it, and we all said at the time when they put the rule in, this is going to be really interesting because at times it's such a subjective call, and you're putting the officials in a really tough situation. But again, when we see some of these calls to us as laymen, it's obvious. And yet, back in New York, they are not calling it, or they're not ruling in favor of these coaches who are challenging it. So I don't understand it. I don't know if this rule was put in place simply so that if we get in a situation like we were a year ago with the Rams and the Saints, and there is an egregious call like that, that they have the opportunity to address it then. When people's, livelihoods and chance to win a championship and all those things are on the line. But as of right now, they're not calling it. And again, it's like last year when they put in the helmet rule and initiating contact and said when offensive players, if they lower their helmet to initiate contact, penalties would be called, but we didn't see them called. This is kind of the same thing to me. So I would have preferred if you just leave it alone then and say that the Rams Saints was a one-off and move on, but instead now we have all this uncertainty, which I don't think is good for the game.
Yeah, I don't either. In fact, it seems to me, Jim, at this point, if they saw that play again right now, I'm afraid they'd review it and not call a flag on that play or throw a flag on that play either at this point. I think that's how bad it is. Jim Trotter is joining us. Yeah.
No, it's not good.
All right, so I had 49er DeForest Buckner on the show in the first hour. If we go back to early spring, Jim, you were saying that you had faith that John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan were going to get this thing turned around. What do you make of what you've seen from them the first four games?
Well, the first thing, Jim, was when I said that was I just wanted to see the team healthy for a change, you know, particularly at the quarterback position. Since Kyle Shanahan has gotten to San Francisco, there were always injuries, and particularly at the quarterback position. And so knowing I have so much respect for how he's able to scheme and game plan and those things, I just wanted to see what he could do with a healthy squad, and now we're starting to see that. And, look, this is a talented club. I don't think it's an elite club yet, but I think the fact that any time you can play defense and any time you can run the ball, you have a chance to be successful in this league. And right now they're able to do that. And with Jimmy Garoppolo healthy, who I think still is learning, still has some things to prove, still needs to develop. But under Kyle Shanahan, I think, you know, he's got one of the best offensive minds in football, and I think that he is going to continue to develop. So when you put that defense together with what Kyle is able to do offensively, I think this is going to be a tough team to deal with, you know, throughout the season.
We're talking to Jim Trotter. Now, Jim, we're a few days out from the firing of Jay Gruden. Bruce Allen would like everybody to know that the culture there is, quote, damn good, which is a joke. I mean, it's so comical. When you look at how many head coaches they've been through since Dan Snyder took over, is there any reason to think that the things are going to change anytime soon?
No. And again, Jim, this is another example of don't believe your eyes, you know. Things are not well in Washington, and the culture is not good, regardless of what Bruce has to say publicly. But I always say this, people point to Jay Gruden or Bruce Allen, and I always go back to it. It starts at the top. An owner sets the culture, sets the tone in an organization. And Dan Snyder has a way that he does things, and the record speaks for itself. You know, outside of bringing back Joe Gibbs for a second term after Joe came out of retirement, there really hasn't been much success there. And there's just always some sort of drama. And what we see happening there now with Dwayne Haskins and the way that whole thing went down and what's being said and what's being leaked out of the building, it's just not good. And the Trent Williams situation, look, if you have a player, you have an asset who has made it very clear he is not going to play for you. And right now Trent Williams seems very firm that he will not play for Washington again. Then why not get something for that asset prior to the trading deadline? And maybe they will. We still have a few weeks to go. But based on everything that I've seen and the way that they handle these situations, I don't believe that they're going to trade them and therefore won't get anything for a player who could bring in, you know, a significant haul for them. And this is a team that clearly is rebuilding and needs pieces. But no, the culture starts at the top. And so, you know, unless they're going to change owners, I don't see much changing.
We're talking to Jim Trotter for a few more moments. Speaking of culture, you know, for all the headlines, Jim, that Jerry Jones generates, does it feel to you like maybe he's taken a step back when it comes to football decisions and that he's finally left those to his football guys?
I'll say this to you, Jim. I think he's more receptive to their ideas. But I said to him 2 years ago exactly what you just said to me, that it appears he has taken a step back and he is relying on Stephen Jones and Will McClay more than he has in the past, and he is deferring to them. And in his own Jerry way, he put me in my place and let me know he's still the owner and he's still the guy who makes the decisions there. So having said that, I will say I do believe he is more receptive to their ideas, but at the end of the day, Jerry will let you know that Jerry makes the decisions.
Jim Trotter, my guest. Jim, Colin Kaepernick's reps released a statement yesterday addressing the false narratives regarding Kaepernick and reminding everybody that not a single team has brought him in for a workout. Seattle brought him in, but they did not work him out. When you look at all the other QBs who've been worked out or who have actually have jobs, what do you make of that at this point?
Look, Jim, for me, there's no other way to say it than it's a joke. Colin Kaepernick, at the time that he was playing, was better than half the quarterbacks in the league. And while you might think he's not a great quarterback, that should tell you about the quality of play at the position in the NFL. So the fact that that teams are going out on the street and bringing in people that no one's ever heard of, who don't have a resume to stand on, and that Colin Kaepernick is still out there, to me is just a flat-out joke. And it's unfortunate because all he did was stand up and shine a light, or I'm sorry, take a knee and shine a light on something that's very important to a lot of people, on an injustice taking place in this country. So, you know, I've had this discussion with some owners about, you know, you hear about, well, it hurts the bottom line. You could hurt your bottom line if you bring them in and this, that, and the other. And I've asked a couple owners in particular whom I respect and said, when is enough enough for an owner or any person of wealth? You know, when do you have enough money? When do you stand on principle and say this is the right thing to do, although it may hurt us some on the bottom line? And the response that I got from each was, that's a very good question. So I never got an answer. But to me, I think ultimately history is going to show who was right in this whole situation. And it was Colin. And it's just unfortunate that he's being treated this way.
You know, Jim, when you mention owners and the way they go about making their decisions and what it comes down to, you and I have talked in the past about owners and how they hire coaches. One last thought. I'm looking at Pittsburgh, and I'm hearing the speculation that Dan Snyder might be interested in Mike Tomlin. I could see where Snyder would love Tomlin and would do anything to try to get Tomlin. Do you think it's reciprocated? What do you think Tomlin thinks of Snyder and that opportunity? Could you ever see that happening?
I've learned to never say never, Jim. But I know that Mike is from that area. I think he's clearly focused on getting things turned around in Pittsburgh right now. He has made that clear that he is focused on this week's game and not any of the speculation that's out there. I do know that for the last couple of years, I've heard from people in that organization that if Mike Tomlin ever became available, regardless of who Dan Snyder's coach was, that he would make a run at Mike Tomlin. So I do know that there would be interest on that side. But I think Mike is focused on getting it right. And look, if Mike were ever to be let go in Pittsburgh, the reality is that he's going to have his choice of jobs. So where would he end up? I would hope he would choose a place where, you know, that there is a culture of commonality in terms of everyone working together, and where you can be successful. Is that Washington? It doesn't appear to be that way right now.
He is a reporter and a storyteller for NFL Media. He is a Hall of Fame voter. He is the author of Junior Seau, The Life and Death of a Football Icon. And he is a very good friend of the program. Jim, I appreciate you. Thank you so much.
No, brother. Always glad to be on. Thanks for having me.
My man. Jim Trotter. Nobody better.